It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It's a good Friday. It is good Friday. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. JoJo, what's up?
Happy Friday, brother. Now we can put the streak behind us and start a new streak, right? Is that what we're doing now?
Yep, it's time to start a new one. Look, all good things come to an end, as the old saying goes. And we talked to Andrew Burnett yesterday. You and I kind of talked on the game a little bit, and I was a little nervous about last night. I didn't think it would be 8-4. I mean, at least the Predators put up 4 goals, but trying to find the positive and everything there. But I didn't think Saros was really at his best, and that we've seen through this stretch. And look, sometimes it happens. If you're going to have a bad game, get it out of the way now. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, but. We talked yesterday about how Arizona is just a thorn in the side of this franchise from years gone past, and that happened last night. But, you know, when they got out to the 2-0 lead, the Preds, I'm like, all right, this is good. I like this. And then I went and did something and then heard Pete say, no, it's 4-2. I was like, what the hell happened? So I called Pete, and I said, Pete, you got to get on the ice and do better.
And he hung up on you.
He did.
Yeah. No, you know.
It happens.
It happens. Right. I mean, you sometimes you can try, and Pete Weber will say no. So that's okay.
And that's what he did. But anyway, they go.
And that's what he did.
Yeah, so 8-4, right, the loss?
Yep, 8-4. But it was a good sports night, I will say that. Watch the Predators were obviously the late game, but you had UConn advancing, so there's one number one that advances. They beat San Diego State by 30. Clemson, how about that?
Yeah.
Upsets Arizona, and really Arizona could just never find it. It was Clemson all the way. They got a little tight there at the end, but the Clemson Tigers pretty much had control of that game from the jump. Illinois beats Iowa State, which, even though that was a 3-2, you know, a pretty even matchup, I liked Illinois from the very beginning. So they advance. So 2-2s go down, and then we have a number one go down. Alabama, the 4 seed, beats North Carolina 89-87 in a thriller.
That was a fantastic game. Good for Alabama. Now back to the Elite Eight. And so that game, it was 54-46 Carolina at half. I'm like, this is an NBA game. And Carolina's going to run them out of the gym. And they almost did in the second half. And Alabama rallied. So congrats to Alabama. And they're one win away from the Final Four. Watch no drives. Alabama doing that drives a lot of Tennessee basketball fans crazy. But Tennessee fans, you got your opportunity tonight to beat Creighton. And then you're one win away from the Elite Eight.
Yeah, so that's what I'll ask. I know that it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't have any bearing on anything. But do you think Alabama winning put even more pressure on Tennessee to win tonight?
No, not at all. I don't think Tennessee is...
I think with fan bases it might have.
Sure. No, you can say fan base, but I think not even with Tennessee. They're not... If they're worried because Alabama won, then Rick Barnes has done a bad job of getting this team ready. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
I think they'll be good to go. And just don't worry about it. And go out and play your games. It's going to be a tough game anyway for the Tennessee Vols. Creighton's a good basketball team. You're all good if you make it to the Sweet 16. But we'll see what happens tonight. But I think Tennessee gets it done, and they run into Purdue on Sunday.
Yeah, I do think they win tonight. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, Creighton is a pretty good basketball team, but I think Tennessee is too. And if Tennessee can play like they should. And, you know, the other thing too is Dalton Kinect did not play well against Texas. If he plays well and gets his game going, then they should be fine. But all those things have to come together. And, you know, I'm sure that Rick Barnes is doing the old, like, you know, tune the noise out and don't worry about that. But I'm sure it's in his head too. Like, they know what's on the line here, that, you know, for everything they've been picked to do, it's time for them to do it. So they have got to win this game tonight.
Not to toot my horn, Chaser, but the JoJo is in the top 17% in the nation in one of his 11 brackets that I filled out. So,
oh, nice.
I know, and I've got ESPN sent me the little fire emoji.
So nice.
If you look,
did you fill that out this morning? And that's how you got that? Or?
If you look, my rank, I am 4,666,375th place. So thank you,
nice.
Everybody who is.
Nice. I always submit my bracket on the day after the championship just to get it in. So
now the rest of the brackets are just awful. I mean, how many did you fill out? One, right?
I just did one. And honestly, I haven't even looked at it. I don't care.
Who'd you have winning?
North Carolina.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm done.
We are done. I go back and is Houston still in it? I haven't even looked.
Yes.
All right. I got Kentucky winning 3 of my 11. I got Tennessee winning 3 of my 11. I got Auburn winning 1, and then Connecticut rolling the rest of those out. So anyway, it'll be fun. We got more action tonight. Tennessee game is on at what, midnight tonight?
9:09 Central Time will be the tip. They're the last game to tip off.
Oh, okay.
So you got NC State taking on Marquette. That's your first game on CBS with a 6:09 tip. Gonzaga Purdue, 6:39 on TBS. 8:39 on CBS, Duke and Houston, and then 9:09 on TBS, Creighton and Tennessee.
Let's play a little trivia game with Chase McCabe. You ready for this?
Yep.
Chase McCabe, where is Creighton University located?
Oh, no idea.
Come on,
Ohio?
Northeast.
Dr. Crane, what do you say?
Said somewhere in the Northeast.
I need a city, brother.
All right.
Give me a state.
Oh, man.
Don't look it
Illinois?
Up, Chaser.
Is it Illinois?
It is not.
Oh, well, I don't know. Maryland?
No. Creighton is located in Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, okay. Midwest.
Yeah. So when you go to work today and you're around the old coffee maker and you're talking about what you're going to do this weekend, and you say, hey, by the way, do you know where Creighton is? And now you know.
How many people are going to work today?
More than you know. More than you know. I know one who's not at work, but
that's right.
But other than that,
one's been at work a lot lately, and he said he's working from home today. So
attaboy.
Deal with it.
Yeah, the owner of the Cubs, Joe Ricketts, not to be confused with Bill Wickett.
I knew you were going to do that.
Is the owner with the Creighton? Joe Ricketts, owner of the Cubs, with the Creighton.
Oh, nice. You know what I've enjoyed? Speaking of I guess he's not really famous, but important or famous people that, you know, are involved in the NCAA tournament. I have been fascinated whenever Houston plays watching Jim Nance.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because he's a Houston grad.
And you know, with CBS having the games, of course they're going to show him 59 times during the game. But he's been there with, you know, his family or whatever, cheering on Houston. And, you know, because this is the first tournament in how many years that he's actually gotten to watch as a fan?
God, you know what? That just hit me. You're right. He's still around. He's not doing that anymore. Yeah. That, oh, man.
Yeah. So last year was, I guess, his last tournament, and he turned it over to Ian Eagle. And Ian Eagle's fantastic.
You know what? That was something I was getting early in the week, talking about questions about people who do you think loves their job. Ian Eagle does a great job. Bill Rafferty is amazing. And his passion for college basketball is amazing. I love listening to him. But Ian Eagle, right? Yeah, not Ian.
Ian Eagle.
Yeah. He's fantastic. Does a great job.
Remind me, don't let me forget this. He's always been very, very kind with his time. I'll reach out and see if he can come on with us next week, because he's fantastic.
What about now?
Well, he's a little busy right now. But we've had him on when he's done Titans games, and, you know, talked about that, and works with Charles Davis at CBS when he does NFL. But I think he's one of the best, and his son's doing it now, which is really cool, Noah. Ian Eagle's been around a long time, and he's always been viewed as like the number two to Jim Nance. He's good enough to be a number one somewhere.
Oh, so. I agree. Also, Bob Gibson, one of the best pitchers of all time, went to Creighton. So I'm always fascinated by alumni of high schools.
Bob Gibson went to Creighton?
And universities, yeah. Bob Gibson, Major Hall of Fame pitcher. And also, if you want to go own a professional sports team, go to Creighton, because Mark Waller owns the L.A. Dodgers, part owner. He went to Creighton so as well. So they own the owner of the Cubs, and the Dodgers also went to Creighton. Let's hope they're crying in their $100 bills tonight as Tennessee beats them.
All right, Joe, it is Good Friday. Why don't you lead us off with our question of the day before we get to our Preds guest?
All right, so today we're going to the weekend. We're going to be feeling good going to the weekend. Today is Good Friday. You know what that's about, is the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection on Sunday. So it's Good Friday. So we're going to take the good part of that. We want to know what's good in your life. Tell us what's good in your life. It can be anything, any answer. It doesn't matter, sports, personal, job. It doesn't matter. We want to get some positivity heading into the weekend. So 615-737-1025. What is good in your life? Chase, real quick, what's good in your life?
I have a lot of things that are good in my life, but you know, I'm lucky to be able to do what I do every day and work with a great group of people. And you know, it's my professional life, but a lot of times professional life seeps into personal life, and I've made a lot of great friendships, including yours, you know, doing this for 12 years now. And so I would say that, you know, doing what I'm doing here at Cromwell and 1025 The Game is pretty darn good.
Nick Crazier? Nick Frazier. Dr. Crane,
Nick Crazier?
Yeah. Dr. Crane, what's good?
Yeah, I'm very thankful for, you know, working here. Obviously, Chase kind of noted that as well, but I'm very thankful for my family. I mean, they're a huge backbone to just my everyday drive, just to kind of get me up and going. So very thankful for the friends and family surrounding me, including you both. So I tell you guys a lot just off the air, very appreciative of you both. And so, yeah, just very
thankful
for it.
You're a good lad. Thank you. Yeah, buddy. I will say this, and Joe, I know this hits home for you, but, you know, I'm very thankful and glad to have my mom around. You know, yep. I lost my dad a few years ago, and my grandparents on both sides, and so mom's all I got left, and so I cherish that every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. So what's good? You know, this might sound kind of like, huh, but this 9 to 11 is good. It's good for me. It's good for my soul. So that's good in my life. So we want to hear from you. What's good in your life? 615-737-1025. We will read all your responses as we go forward on this Good Friday.
We will indeed. Coming up next, we visit with someone from the Nashville Predators every week. Kyle Clayton is going to join us from the Nashville Predators to talk about Bridgestone Arena and all the fun things that are coming up there, including what's been happening with the hockey team as of late. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game. Two five 106.3 The Game on this Good Friday, and every Friday at 9:15 we talk to an executive from the Nashville Predators. So we say hello to Kyle Clayton. He's the chief strategy officer with the Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chase. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Look, let's just get the bad news out of the way first. You know, the streak came to an end last night, but it has still been a lot of fun watching this Predators hockey team and everything that they've done over the course of the last month or so. And playoffs look to be coming back to Smashville, and I know everybody's excited about that.
Yeah, I got to go get with Bill Wickett and Kevin Wilson. I'm not sure how I got scheduled for today. I mean, of all days, everybody's going to blame me now for the streak ending, but luckily, it was a late game last night. Probably a lot of people fell asleep, and they didn't actually see the ending of it. But you're right. I mean, coming off, you know, an 18-game point streak is just really an incredible feat for this team. If you remember going into the All-Star break, I think we lost like six games in a row right before the All-Star break there in January, February. I mean, coming out of it, we're on fire. You know, I think the team really adopted Andrew Burnett's relentless mentality. And it just showed, and it was just an incredible way to, you know, just cement who we were as a team at that time. And, you know, now as we're marching into the playoffs, like you said, you know, you're one of those teams now where people really wake up and they fear you a little bit, right? Like, no one wants to be matched up against us right now heading into that first round. So, you know, we're really excited about where we are as a team, where we're headed, not just this season, but also long term. We're just in a good spot right now, and it's really exciting as we're, you know, building this buzz as we're getting ramped up for a potential playoff run.
So as the chief strategy officer, you know what, and you know that obviously they haven't clinched yet, but you know it's going to happen. It's very, very likely. So what do you start doing looking ahead, getting ready for playoffs, and, you know, adding some special things for fans to see when they come to Bridgestone Arena?
Yeah, this is probably one of the most fun times of the year because it really is just a sprint because, you know, as the season goes, you think the past season's about the playoffs, what we've done, what we could possibly do. So you kind of have loose ideas, but then now as you're getting in these clinch scenarios, I think we're, you know, 10 points is our magic number right now. We really start trying to solidify those plans and really get things planned and booked. You know, a couple of different things that we always do each year is obviously the weather in Tennessee. I've lived here my entire life, and the weather just in the springtime, you never know what it's going to be. So we always bring in extra HVAC equipment just to make sure that we have the most quality ice surface and conditions in the building as possible. So all of that actually got loaded in last week, so we're excited about that. And then from a game presentation perspective, last season we won the NHL Stanley Award for our best game presentation in the league. So our game presentation team is really ramped up right now, deciding last minute what we're going to add to the bowl. You know, a lot of times we do those blinky lights or extra projectors or all those cool different things. So we're excited what we're going to roll out this year to keep our fans excited about really just coming in and getting loud, right? It's one of those, the guys on the ice do a great job of getting everybody amped up and ready, but really we just want to make sure everything we do from a game presentation and putting on a show really helps bring extra energy to the fans, so that way they can root the guys on and give them more energy. So really finalizing those details now and getting everything set for that first round, hopefully.
We're talking to Kyle Clayton. He's the Chief Strategy Officer at Bridgestone. Hey, Kyle, I've told you before, you got the best title of anybody I know. And it's the perfect title.
You know, it's one of those that it means everything and it means nothing, right? Like, I can touch all kinds of things, but really I don't do a whole lot, right? It's a lot of fun to I'm kind of in the middle of everything, and it makes my job every day just a little bit different, and I can go in and out of all kinds of different things, whether it's like I was talking about game presentation, capital projects. It really is just a fun time.
It just sounds like we're getting ready to take over the FedEx Forum and Thompson Bowling Arena and Rupp Arena. I mean, it sounds like that's what your job is. Like, that's the Chief Strategy Officer does that. So I love the title, Kyle. All right, Kyle, let me ask you this. Everybody's talking about this new wall, this 25th anniversary wall that's going to be coming up soon. Tell us about that, because there's a lot of buzz around this.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's one of those that obviously our fan base is what makes us who we are, right? Smashville truly is the folks that come into this building and really just help cheer on our team and you know, really push us over the limit. And so what we've decided to do is, as part of our 25th anniversary season, we want to honor all season ticket holders that have ever been part of Smashville over those 25 years. So we have this new wall that's going up in the next 2 weeks, I believe. And essentially every single season ticket holder that's ever been part of the franchise back to 1998 to today, they'll be honored on this wall. And it'll be one that's in our guest services presented by Cabinets to Go area. There used to be a Loyal Legion wall there that I think it commemorated the lockout years. But this one will be for all 25 years. It'll be an opportunity for all these fans to come in and take their photo with their name. It'll be one where all the names will be kind of eye level. It'll span the whole area of that wall. And so fans can come in and get their photo and really just truly be a part of Smashville. Again, it's just a way to honor them for all the commitment and everything they've done for us to get us to where we are and to commemorate them in this time. And, you know, it's just a cool opportunity to honor our fans. And then the flip side, the other side of that wall, another week or so later after that, John Russell, our team photographer, who's just an incredible person, he's been with us since day one as the team photographer. He's going to do a photo gallery that will be on that opposite wall. And there's a really cool story right now on our website about John Russell and all the work that he does and kind of his history with the team, but then also just kind of walks through day to day and what he does and how, you know, what it's like to be that team photographer and be behind the scenes and just be part of some cool pieces of history. But there's on the story on the website, there's a lot of photos that he talks about. There's some of his favorites, and a lot of those will be the ones that are commemorated on this wall also. So there's a lot of fun stuff going on. Again, we always talk about being constantly under renovation. We have a 12-month renovation plan, and so this is just one more thing we can add as we get close to the end of the regular season, as we get into the playoffs.
I wish I had 1% of John's talent. I mean, I think we all do, right?
He's the man.
Oh, he's incredible. He's always in the right spot. I mean, again, he's got a lot of tools and tricks up his sleeve. Again, being in the business for so long and with us for 25 years, obviously it's just a great situation.
We're talking to Kyle Clayton here on the Chasing Big Joe Show. All right, one more for you, because this is – something that I've been asked about. You know, we get to playoffs, there's always certain things that we see in game presentation, and maybe you're not ready to reveal it yet, but could we see the return of Run This Town with the intro video?
You know, it's funny. That's a highly debated topic within these four walls, and I can't spill any beans yet about what we're going to debut this year, what we're going to roll out. But just know that, of course, what we do is going to be really cool, really exciting. Again, our goal is to make sure that our fans are amped up and loud and ready to go. So whatever is chosen or brought back, I promise, will be something that the fans will love and be excited about for sure.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Just excited to see the playoffs back in Smashville. Kyle, thanks so much. As always, good to talk to you. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Have a good one. Kyle Clayton, he's the Chief Strategy Officer with the Nashville Predators. And you're right, Joe, that is an awesome title to have.
Is it not? Also, when did they sleep? I mean, him and Bill and Sean, that whole, they're always there.
I think Sean probably sleeps, and then everybody else, you know, doesn't. But You know Sean, he's got to get his beauty rest.
When he's not harassing us, yeah, I mean, that's when he's got time to do that. But no, I mean, that building is just, it's so, I mean, it's a generation, like my kids, that's their building. I mean, our building was Municipal Auditorium. This next generation, everything is Bridgestone, and it's just such an iconic spot in our hearts now going forward for, you know, since 1996, 97 then. So it's really cool.
So the Preds play again Saturday against Colorado. I have not anticipated a game more than I do right now, and I will tell you why when we come back. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Where did you come from? I said where I come from. It's cornbread and chicken.
Where Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Friday. So, Joe, I am anticipating Saturday's game more than I have a game in a while, and here's why. I want to see the response. They haven't had this in a while. 9-2, they lost, and they went on a 18-game point streak. Now, I'm not expecting that necessarily, but they didn't play great last night. The goalie didn't play great last night. So I want to see their response against a really good Colorado team, a team that you're chasing, a team that you're going to have to get through in the playoffs. What's the response? Are you going to go in there head down, tail between your legs? Are you going to go in there, you know, I know you don't like this phrase, but pissed off for greatness?
God, I hate that phrase so much.
Well, help me come up with another one.
How about go out and play better? How about that? Just go out and play, you know, you're capable of playing. We've seen how good this hockey team could be. And, you know, we know they're going to, at some point, they were not going to go 48-0-2 and run everything that goes on. It's disconcerting get to beat to 8-4. Kids kind of like, all right, just let it all out. I mean, that's, you know, if we're going to give up 8 goals, just let it all go there. But I'm with you in agreement on what's going to happen Saturday. I want to see the how this team comes out and fights against a team that they haven't lost to all season, that's probably one of the top three favorites to win the Stanley Cup, and just go out and kick their butt. Because I tell you what, you come back here Tuesday, and you got the Boston Bruins waiting on you. So, again, we talk about one game at a time. Go to Colorado, take care of business, see what you can do, gut check time, and see what this team is made of. And, you know, you're right, the guys are upset. They should be upset. I've told you before, I'd rather have a teammate who hates losing more than he enjoys winning. I'd rather that teammate, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, those guys hate Kobe, hated losing. So they go out and they're really upset at what happened and play hard and say, we're better than this. Then, you know, we'll see what the results happen on Saturday. But I agree 100%, and I hardly ever agree with you, but I agree with you on this.
Well, I'm glad you do for once.
Thank you, buddy.
Check's in the mail.
Is it?
Yes.
Nice. Thanks.
Look, I think the next two games, like we use the term measuring stick games.
Yes.
These are important because these are teams you're going to have to see if you want to win at all. You know, Boston is likely going to be one of the top teams, or they are one of the top teams out of the East. I could see them coming out of the East. So you might have to get through them. And then Colorado, you're certainly going to have to get through in the West. And so see where you match up. You know, you've played some good teams. Colorado was a part of that stretch of the 18-game point streak. You've looked good there. So, you know, go ahead and show what you can do against them this Saturday and get a little bit, you know, not that they lost their confidence after one game, but, you know, I'm sure it didn't feel good. So go out there and shake the cobwebs off and come back to Bridgestone with a win.
I agree. You know, I thought last week they would go down to Florida and lose, like the Panthers, or they had the most points at the time, and it's been a nice little run, and they kicked their tail. So, you know, I can't predict games anymore because I'm terrible at it. And I think all of us are as well. But I think tomorrow is a little extra motivation. And I know Andrew Burnett's going to know exactly what to do and say, look, all right, here is your measuring stick like you just talked about. How well can you guys play? Now, I don't think we'll see Saros and goal, will we?
I think they go to Lincoln.
I think as well. Why not? Yeah. I mean, they threw him to Florida and he had a shutout, right?
Yeah. No, I think Lincoln, and look, we talked about this with Andrew Burnett yesterday, that when you go through the playoffs, you know, yes, Juuse Saros is the starting goaltender. Everybody has, you know, all the faith in the world in him, but at some point or another, you're probably going to need both your guys, and you need both goalies to be playing at a high level, and you have that right now. And so I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you put Lankinen, who came in relief last night, if you put Lankinen in against Colorado and then go back to Saros for Boston, that's, I think, a really good opportunity to see how they match up against those top teams.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. Hey, Rookwood, we've got some breaking news. There's been a celebrity that has passed away, and Louis Gossett Jr. passed away this morning. And if you know Officer and a Gentleman, Iron Eagle, I mean, that's those were iconic movies growing up in our 80s. And he was 87 years old and passed. The news just came about 10 minutes ago. I just want to get that out there real quick. But we are Officer and a Gentleman.
A lot of stuff.
Iconic movie. Iron Eagle is just that 80s movie that was so terrible that you've watched 1,000 times over and over and over again and became just kind of part of your DNA. So as we get older, man, things happen. So that's, you know, our question today was, tell us what's good in your life. Well, you know, that was, you know, that was a good actor, good roles, good movies that resonated with us. And so
he was in the remake of the Color Purple as well.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, that just came out last year. Did you know there was an Iron Eagle too?
We don't talk about that much.
I mean, do we talk about the first one?
Oh, yeah, we do. It's so amazingly bad and awesome that we watched that movie. And so Jason Gedrick was the guy, the other actor in the movie, whose father passed away, and he hired Chappie to go get his dad. I mean, it was just an amazing movie. But Officer and Gentleman is the one, and he had the iconic line, which I'm not going to repeat on the radio, but it was a movie that just everybody's like, my goodness. Also, Officer and Gentleman, that is a role that was given to John Travolta. He was going to take it, and then at the same time, American Airlines, he got into the pilot program. It's going to take a year. So Travolta's like, yeah, I want to go fly planes. I don't want to do an Officer and Gentleman. So John Travolta did not take Officer and a Gentleman. Richard Gere had just done American Gigolo. Do not ask me how I know all this, but I do. And then Richard Gere got in the role, and that made his career.
You know what I think is one of the most fascinating discussions or trivia or whatever is the roles that somebody almost had. Like,
yes,
Harrison Ford was not supposed to be Indiana Jones. You know who was?
Go ahead.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Do you know? Go ahead.
I do, and I just blanked on his name.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, but Belisario wouldn't let him out of his deal because he was doing Magnum.
The original Beverly Hills Cop was Sly Stallone. He rewrote the script, and it was so awful. They're like, yeah, take care of yourself. And that's why he went and made the movie Cobra. He wanted to turn Beverly Hills Cop. It was not. He wanted to make it, like, serious. And they said, all right, we're done, and made it Cobra. And then finally, one role that was, you think about, like, what? The movie Big with Tom Hanks. You know who filmed, like, a quarter of that movie, and they just couldn't – it wasn't working? Robert De Niro.
Oh, wow.
Was in the movie Big, and they said, you know what? This isn't working. And Penny Marshall, the director, said, take care. And then Tom Hanks stepped in, and that's how we know Big.
There were three pretty well-known actors that tried out for Han Solo as well. Do you know who they are?
I do not.
Kurt Russell.
Wow.
Nick Nolte and Christopher Walken.
Really?
They all auditioned for Han Solo.
Oh, man. That Nick Nolte would have been terrible in that role.
Look, George Lucas did it right with Star Wars, getting some unknowns, you know, obviously Harrison Ford had the biggest career out of any of them. But I've always liked that about the Star Wars films, is you find unknown actors and then put them in those roles.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's, so that's some of the biggest roles of all time. And you think about who would have been plugged in there and what it have, and I know like 30 of them, but I'm blanking on all of them right now for different roles for actors that have gotten in there that, you know, it's like, wow, that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have happened. And it happens for, you know, TV shows as well. Like The Office wanted to get Bob Odenkirk. He was their number one choice. And then his, screen test was so bad, then they was like, oh, what about Steve Carell? And they hired Steve Carell. And that's, you know, that's another thing where, you know, you think about Bob Odenkirk, he might have done well, but Steve Carell in The Office was just, as Michael Scott, is just an iconic role.
Here's a lesser known one, but if you're a Star Trek fan, so Patrick Stewart, who became Jean-Luc Picard, the captain, he's a Shakespearean actor. Like, he, you know, did plays and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He was originally, Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek, originally wanted Patrick Stewart to play Data, the android.
Really?
And after, you know, meeting him and, you know, watching the audition, he had him read lines for Picard and thought, okay, no, you're better suited to be the captain. And Patrick Stewart was hesitant at first because he had never done sci-fi or anything like that. He was a Shakespearean actor, but turns out to be one of the greatest decisions he ever made.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, he's so iconic. Salt and pepper! I mean, it is. We got to find that. Use that as a drop. But no, I totally agree. Also, the movie Dumb and Dumber, they wanted Rob Lowe to do that. Rob Lowe turned it down because he thought it'd be just kind of goofy. And then Rob Lowe's agent's like, "What are you doing?" And then So Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels took the back end deal where you do the movie for like $30,000, and then you're like, "All right, we'll get a percentage of the profits." And those guys made millions off of that. So that's why Rob Lowe ended up doing, according to the story I'm reading right now, Tommy Boy. He's like, "I'm never going to turn down another goofy role like that." He had done Wayne's World, and then he ended up doing, then he got into do Tommy Boy. I mean, we could do this for 2 hours, but.
So did Jim Carrey do Dumb and Dumber before Ace Ventura, or was it Ace Ventura?
It was Ace Ventura, then Mask, and then Dumb and Dumber.
That's right.
And then from there, went on there. So that's it. So anyway, Louis Gossett Jr. Passed away. I'm going to reboot our question for the day. Today is Good Friday, but we want to know what's good in your life. We got a ton of messages, and the Chase will read those when we come back. 615-737-1025. Tell us what is good in your life. And Chase, we got some really, really heartfelt responses because you guys out in Radio Land, our listeners to 1025, are fantastic. So thank you.
We do, and you need to read the one that just came in because it's directed to you. We will get to those in just a few minutes. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show on this Friday. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan today. Nashville Sounds Baseball returns. They take on the Toledo Mudhens on the road. Pregame at 2:50 with our man Jeff Hemm. First pitch at 3:05. Coverage also available in the 94.9 The Fan app at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Made up of these three words that I must say to you. I just called to say I love you. Good one, bringing us back here on this Good Friday. Jason Big Joe broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Our question of the day in honor of Good Friday, it's a simple one. What's good in your life? 615-737-1025. You can call or text on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, ready to get to some of these, JoJo?
Do it, brother.
3045 says high school baseball.
Yes, good. That's a good one. Love it. Be outside, sunshine, yeah.
Neil says, my wife and three kids are what's amazing in my life.
Beautiful.
That's a good one, Neil. Michael and Madison, God has made my life good by allowing us to baptize my girlfriend's younger brother, and in 3 short months making him cancer-free after almost a year and a half battle with, I can't pronounce that, but cancer, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
Astrocnoma? I can't do that. But, Michael, we're glad that that's happened. That's awesome. 8722, here's another good one. That I'm thankful my wife is cancer-free after fighting breast cancer for 2.5 years ago.
Ooh, God bless you. Yes.
Fantastic.
That is good.
Jameson, I'm thankful for you guys on my drive to work every morning.
Oh, Jameson, thank you, buddy. Every time I see his name pop up, I want to have whiskey. It's just crazy.
Well, there you go.
Right?
Some J-Mo. Gina Spring Hill says, simple, my family and a great job.
Yeah, there you go. See, it can be so. It doesn't be extravagant. It can be very simple. Good job.
I love this one. 2758. 17,245 consecutive streak of days being alive.
That's great. I guess there's an easy way to figure out how many days you've been alive on the planet,
there's probably Google.
Right. But still, that's great. That's a great answer.
Dave says, my niece just had a baby yesterday. I'm a great uncle now, but I get to make fun of my brother being a grandpa. I think it's great.
Nice.
Kyle says, my family. It was simple enough.
Yep.
Let's see. Byron. That's about the movies we were talking about. Look, 0598, this is a good one. Good going in my life. I just finished a 22-year prison sentence, got a whole new outlook on life, and moved to Michigan where I can smoke pot and relax. Awesome show, guys.
We tell you, wherever you find your good, that's where you find your good. I know that sounds stupid, but that's exactly that. So if you're out in your way and making a positive impact on the world, good for you, man.
Patrick says, what's good in my life is I have a great job, a great girlfriend, and my family is healthy. Also, thank you for what you guys do every day. It is the best show on the radio.
Well, we appreciate Patrick. Thank you.
Appreciate you. That was awesome. Let's see. 8563 says, what's good in his life? Pabst Blue Ribbon and pizza.
Nobody is going to disagree with that at all. Good job.
Yeah, that's a very good one. So, a lot of good ones on there. There was a really good one that was directed at you that I thought was very well said. So, we appreciate all the listeners, and again, trying to feel good on this Good Friday. That's our question today.
Just bring a little levity in your life. One more, real quick. 6346. My wife got to see her first Predators game against Vegas the other night. What a game to get to see. Now, I love this. Now, going forward, she's going to think, and which is good, that every Nashville Predator game is going to be like that. And, and unfortunately, they're not. It's not that exciting and that wonderful. You know, they're great, but now in her mind, she's like, every Preds game is going to be that way. So that's a heck of a memory going forward to have on her first Preds game.
So I'm going to put you on the spot in the theme of what's good. What's good in, somebody's life. I think with the Predators, it's an easy answer. What's good right now? They're just playing well. I mean, they went on an 18-game point streak. They're going to make the playoffs. People didn't really expect them to make the playoffs. Greg Wyshynski was one of the only national media members that picked them to make the playoffs. And,
right.
And now they find themselves in that position. What's one good thing with the Titans right now? Be anything.
Oh, that's a good one. I think there's optimism. Where there wasn't any on January the 1st. I think I know that it's a very blanket answer, but there's a lot of optimism for what Rand Carthon has done from bringing people in here. And now it's kind of like, because, Chase, you're a Cowboy fan. Cowboy Nation is livid, right? Because of why?
They haven't done anything.
Exactly. Titans address some critical needs to say, look, we're in this, and we're in this for the long haul. And I think the optimism right now, if you're a Titans fan, that is good. And for the Titans, that is good. You really have something to look forward to. Because there were seasons, Chase, like after the purge of 04 into the 05 season when Mason was gone, Samari Roll and everybody, you're like, God, this is going to be awful. And he knew it with Wisenhut in 14 and 15. It's like, they got no chance. Now you're thinking, all right, they've got a long way to go. But there's some pieces here they've got now that makes you feel really good about this franchise.
Let's go live to Dallas and what the Cowboys have done in free agency. That's it. Crickets.
Nah, you got that board at home, right?
Or whatever. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do out the entire show. I just keep pressing buttons.
I got you.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I love this thing. Here's the thing on the Cowboys, though. Like, I've seen this before. Jerry Jones is basically going to go into a lame duck year. He's going to fire the coach and then start all over again. Because he's got 1 year left on his contract, so he don't want to pay the contract if he's not coaching. So he's going to let him suck this year, fire him, or not renew the contract, and then get a new coach.
I'm still shaking my head how McCarthy's back.
He doesn't want to have to pay the last year on the contract.
The guy is worth billions. That's so funny.
That's how Jerry Jones works.
These guys are worth billions, and it's like, I'm not gonna pay that money, but we'll pay $68 million for a jet, or they'll pay $4,800 for one night at a hotel. It's crazy how their mind works. I don't have any money, so I don't know how crazy their mind really works, but just pay the guy off and say, hit the road, there you go. Hell, Texas A&M paid Jimbo $40 million, right? Isn't Vanderbilt paying Stackhouse $20 million?
Supposedly.
So this whole poverty thing, as our good friend Greg Pogue says, Vanderbilt and other people like Jerry Jones, they have selective poverty when it comes to that. I always love that line, selective poverty. Just pay the guy and go out and get the coach that you want now.
Yeah, look, Vanderbilt did the right thing. Whether the buyout was $20 million or $2, it didn't matter. Like, they needed to do it. I like Jerry Stackhouse, but it wasn't working. And you know, the guy they're bringing in, I think is a good hire. Did great job at James Madison. So, you know, we'll see. Time will tell. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do, but I agree. You know, if, you know, as a Cowboys fan, or, you know, even as a Titans fan, the more we get removed from Mike Vrabel and, you know, stuff that's come out, like, it's probably going to turn out to be the right move, that it was time, that, you know, it just wasn't working anymore. He and Rand weren't going to work together. He didn't want to work with him. He wanted to be in charge, all those things. And you know, if you have that kind of quote-unquote partnership, it doesn't work. So I agree. If you're Jerry Jones and you know you got this window with Dak Prescott and you want to win now, then fire McCarthy, get a new coach, and keep it moving. But he's done this so many times before that he lets him get into the last year. Now, would I be surprised if he fired him mid-year? No, not at all. I wouldn't be shocked if he did that.
Yeah, and I'm just still shocked that he's coming back. I mean, it ended badly the last couple of years, and all the, you know, it's like Cowboy fans are upset. And then you go out and say, well, who have they gotten better? Well, I don't know. I mean, Jerry Jones can hire whoever he wants to get that. But now you get another year of, like, a lame duck coach. And a lame duck coach doesn't – can you imagine if they're like 5-5 through 10 games? It's like, all right, then what? Then you know he's gone. Guys don't want to play hard. It's just – that's things that happen there. So I think a big mistake. But back to your original point, what's good for the Titans is the fact that they've given this fan base a lot of optimism. And in the offseason, that's how you win the crowd. You have optimism. Yeah. Now, if you go 0-8 to start the season, yes, that's awful. But that's not the case. Right now you have optimism, and that's how you win the offseason.
Yeah, and look, they've taken swings. And you, that's what you wanted them to do. They've taken swings. Are all these free agent signings going to work out? Probably not. But your hope is most of them will.
Yeah.
And at least they're trying, you know. So I listened to Jared talk about that, you know, he tells the Floyd story. We don't have a right tackle. Okay, you're right. Not yet. You don't have a left tackle either. So, you know, you got to let it be completed.
Yeah.
And then see what it looks like.
You do. By the way, our friends, I'm watching Channel 5, are eating Peeps in the studio, and I actually want to throw up.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, we could have done the easy question of favorite Easter candy. I'm the right. Reese's Eggs, but yeah. Peeps, nah, I don't eat them. We can live without Peeps.
And they're enjoying them. And I'm like, you know, our buddy Ben Hill, I'm like, why? No, I would throw them at the other guests. I'm
are like, those I'm like marshmallows? This.
I don't know. They're gross to me. I don't like them.
They're just awful. It's like it's like when David Spade tells Tommy Boy Chris Farley, Tommy Boy, when he's eating the M&Ms, he's like, I can hear you getting fatter. So, so if I eat Peeps, I can just, my body's like, here we go. Here goes your A1C, fat boy. Stop doing it. So, just disgusting. What's next, Chaser?
We're going to talk to our buddy Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, get his thoughts on all of this and much more. It is the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.